Ask the Beauty Advisor. This is the place where we talk about the latest trends in health and beauty, we review beauty products, and we help you navigate the cosmetic counters so that you can stay beautiful while living longer. This is your host and beauty advisor, Deanna Lynn. Our episode for today is all about essential oils and aromatherapy. I have as our special guest, Sharon Ganot Patel, who's an expert on essential oils and essential oil therapy. Sharon has prepared some very informative information for us today on the use of essential oils. Sharon also has a very exciting and generous offer for all of our listeners, and she'll explain all about that at the end of the show. I have received a lot of questions on the subject of essential oils, so I know this is a subject that you're all waiting to hear about, and I don't want to keep you waiting. So let's tune in right now and listen to what Sharon has to say. Sharon, I know the last time I had you on, I clobbered your name, so I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Sure. Hi, Deanna. My name is Sharon Ganot Patel, and thank you so much for having me on again.
Oh, you're welcome. Sharon, could you tell us briefly a little something about your business?
Sure. The name of my company is La Isha Natural Skincare and Clinical Aromatherapy Blends, and we specialize in designing and manufacturing age-defying natural skincare and aromatherapy blends specifically for women over 40.
Okay, excellent. All right, so let's dive into our topic here because I'm really excited about this. First of all, let's start at the beginning. What are essential oils?
Okay, so essential oils are the pure essences of flowers and berries and even grasses and roots and seeds and sometimes barks and fruits and herbs. And they are extracted from the plant through a couple of different methods that include steam distillation and also cold pressing, which is a way of just squishing the peel, for example, like on citrus fruits. And our policy at La Isha is to use only pure, natural, and organic essential oils whenever possible that have been extracted through steam or water distillation only, never using chemical solvents. So contrary to what most people think, essential oils tend to be actually not greasy, and each one has its own very distinct character and smell and therapeutic properties. They also are highly, highly concentrated, so a little bit goes a very long way, and we're talking drops here, not ounces. So a good example of how concentrated they really are would be, for example, the pure rose oil that we use in several of our skincare formulations. Rose oil is ideal for use in skincare because it soothes and nourishes and tones the skin, and that makes it especially helpful for women over 40. But there is so little aromatic content in rose flowers, believe it or not, that it actually takes a full ton of rose petals to produce only about 10 and a half ounces of rose oil. And unless you think that's unusual, another example would be lavender. It takes about 220 pounds of lavender flowers to make only 1 pound of essential oil.
Right. And that's why rose is one of the most expensive essential oils in the world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I think wholesale, depending on where we buy it and, you know, what the crop is like, we can expect to pay anywhere between $400 and $700 an ounce wholesale. Yeah, so it's really expensive.
It is. But it's a wonderful aroma. I love rose oil, and I love anything, you know, if you can find a real oil, rose oil and not a synthetic. I know I hear this term of medical-grade essential oils. What's the difference between a medical-grade essential oil and just an essential oil?
That's a great question. So medical-grade is a phrase that is very often misused. And in fact, it's a point of contention even within the essential oil industry. So medical-grade aromatherapy is also known as aromatic medicine. And when people refer to medical or therapeutic grade EOs, they usually mean pure oils that have not been adulterated or diluted in any way. Therapeutic grade oils actually go far beyond this. The people who grow this caliber of oil follow very strict guidelines during the growing, the harvesting, the distillation, and the post-distillation handling processes. So therapeutic grade oils usually come from crops that are true to species. In other words, they're not hybrids. They haven't been genetically modified. And unlike GMO seeds, these seeds can propagate on their own. They may or may not be organically grown. They can be wildcrafted, but they have to be grown in top-notch soil that has been tested and proven to be rich and healthy enough to produce a high-quality crop. And there are a whole lot of other specifications that I won't get into now, but suffice it to say that what is called medical-grade essential oils are categorized by so many things, including the geography, you know, where they were grown, the growing environment, the elevation, the climate, what the weather conditions, you know, were that season, and even the time of day that the plants were harvested. So how can someone tell if the essential oil is medical grade? Well, unfortunately, medical grade is a phrase that is often misused. And like I said, a point of contention, even within the EO industry, there are companies that label their oils therapeutic grade when they are actually far from pure. And there is no one official governing body that bestows this therapeutic distinction upon oil distillers. So some people feel that the term therapeutic or medical grade shouldn't be used at all. And there are people who think that this category of oil doesn't even exist. I can guarantee you it does. But generally, these are companies that offer very inferior oils. So it's really a matter of relying upon trustworthy sources who have connections to reliable growers, who have a reputation for producing oils that are grown or used specifically in the pursuit of essential oil therapy. The purity itself can be tested and confirmed by standardized lab studies. So as a consumer myself, I personally intend to be very wary of medical-grade essential oils that are sold, for example, by very aggressive MLM distribution companies, not just because of questionable sourcing, but I have a problem with the lack of accurate safety information that they usually pass along to their members. I get pictures every day of the week from people who were told to apply a particular essential oil in a particular way that turned out to be very harmful. And the second reason for it is actually price, because so many people, you know, in an MLM downline need to make something off of every sale. So you generally tend to pay more for a lesser quality oil. The other thing that I should mention is that if you buy an essential oil and it comes stored in plastic, you can be pretty sure that it's not pure or from a reputable source. And the reason for this is that many essential oils will actually eat through plastic in their undiluted form. And even when they are diluted, they can cause plastic to degrade over time. That's why, for example, my company packages all of our products in glass containers and we use only glass bulb droppers. And essential oils should be stored in dark, airtight glass bottles because when they are exposed to light or oxygen or heat, it causes chemical changes over time in the oil. So all essential oils need to be kept cold, and the ideal temperature is about 65 degrees.
Well, I hear you talking about essential oil therapy. Now, I'm a little confused here. Essential oil therapy and aromatherapy, are there differences there?
Yeah, great question. Great question, Deanna. They are both technically the same thing. I have a friend and a colleague, Gabriel Mohe, who's an internationally renowned educator, and his definition is, he says, aromatherapy can be defined, I'm just going to read this, aromatherapy can be defined as the controlled use of essential oils to maintain and promote physical, psychological, and spiritual well-being. Well, that covers a lot of ground. But when most people use the word aromatherapy, what they usually mean is that they're using, for example, a specially fragranced candle or a bath product or a home product that smell good and therefore makes them feel good. An example of this would be using a bath bomb or a room freshener. I recently saw a TV commercial. I don't know if you've seen this, for air fresheners. They're made by a company that shall remain nameless that is owned by the Dial Soap people. And they have a fragrance collection that they are advertising as being aromatherapy. But in the clinical essential oil therapy world, this is a really big stretch, because even if the product does contain some natural oils, which we don't know because they don't disclose the ingredient list, they certainly contain synthetic or lab-created chemical fragrance. And according to the FDA, fragrance is considered proprietary, so manufacturers are actually not required to provide a full disclosure of the ingredient list to the public. What we do know is that most products like these use man-made fragrance, basically because the cost is so much cheaper than using a pure essential oil. Plus, if you think about the volume of products that they sell, it would be pretty impossible for them to find enough high-quality natural essential oils, you know, to use in their products. I should also mention that even though synthetic fragrances may be pleasant to smell, lab-synthesized perfumes and oils do not have the same properties or any of the therapeutic benefits that you would get from a true essential oil, just because they don't come from live plants.
I've seen that a lot. You know, I know that what the true scent of lavender is, and a lot of times you'll see something that says for relaxation, a lavender bath salt or something, and it's not a real lavender. It's a perfume oil lavender. So
yeah, and you can tell after a while, your nose becomes accustomed, and you can become pretty discerning about, you know, what's natural and what isn't.
Yeah, it's so true. That I see that a lot on cosmetics and body lotions and stuff. But, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about the ways that essential oils can be used?
Well, this is a huge topic. You know, essential oils are used for so many different purposes, including altering your mood and improving your health. So an example of this would be, for example, creating a calming atmosphere in your house by diffusing a particular blend of essential oils. Or you can stimulate creativity or increase energy when you're feeling dull and lethargic. Essential oils can even be used to enhance meditation techniques. It's interesting that now the American Cancer Society acknowledges the benefits of using aromatherapy now to enhance the quality of life for people who are undergoing cancer treatment. And essential oils have some huge benefits as a complement to traditional cancer treatments. And they can help reduce stress. They can help control pain, nausea, and even depression. And I have to put in a little disclaimer here. Everybody understands that EOs are not endorsed for use in curing, preventing, or treating cancer.
Now, are essential oils safe to use? Are there any precautions that we should be aware of when using essential oils?
Even though, I think the first thing I should say is that even though you might think that, well, this is just an oil, remember that these are very concentrated oil, so they have to be used carefully in the proper dosage. And there are definitely safety guidelines to using them, and I'll mention just a few of them. First of all, with the exception of maybe four or five essential oils that can be applied directly to the skin neat, in other words, you know, without mixing it with anything, the vast majority of EOs absolutely have to be diluted before you use them on your skin because they are so highly concentrated. So to give you an idea of how concentrated they are, one single drop of peppermint essential oil is equivalent to about 28 cups of peppermint tea. So in the wrong dosage or the wrong method of application, essential oils can actually cause blistering and allergic reactions, photosensitivity, particularly from citrus oils, and even permanent discoloration of the skin. So you have to exercise caution. Essential oils should also never be taken internally, never, never, ever, unless you're under the care of a physician who knows what he's doing. Do not put pure essential oil of lemon, for example, in your drinking water. I keep seeing blogs that keep recommending this because if you do this, it could seriously burn your esophagus. So trying not to follow the advice from well-meaning friends about applying certain oils directly to the skin or ingesting them because the results can be pretty ugly. You should also never give essential oils to children orally, in addition to not taking them yourself. And they should not be applied topically unless they have been diluted specifically in amounts for young children. And the amounts of dilution for young children are different from the adult dosage. Some oils should never be applied to babies, so don't assume that they're all safe to use in that way. And you definitely need to know what to do in the event that an essential oil winds up in your eyes. Okay, most people, in fact, I heard a not-so-funny story about somebody who tried to wash out a bath oil that got splashed into his eyes, and he tried to wash it out with water, which actually made it worse. And if you remember that old saying, oil and water don't mix, that's why. So what you would actually do would be apply a teeny amount of vegetable oil in the corner of your eye, and that would attract the essential oil and draw it out. So there's so much to know about this, so please consult a licensed aromatherapist before you decide to take matters into your own hands.
And we should also caution pregnant women about using essential oils.
Yeah, and most of them, you know, depending on how they are being used, are generally okay. But I agree. I personally, would not do that during the first trimester. And I think it makes a lot of sense to check with a clinical aromatherapist to make sure you're not using an oil that has counterindications. Yeah.
You know, why don't you tell, you have some favorite essential oils, I'm sure. Can you talk a little bit about what are some of your favorite essential oils are and why they're your favorites? Sorry. I got sidetracked here.
I have, a whole bunch of them, and a lot of them are just based on the fragrance alone. But there are probably, I'd say, five of them that I really, really love. The first one is geranium, and I should mention that there are different species among each of these plants. So I will refer to some of them by their botanical names. So geranium, which is known as Pelargonium graveolens, it's a very powerful wound healer. It smells absolutely amazing. And it's known for its ability to help balance a woman's hormones and reduce stress levels and inflammation. It also helps reduce scar formation. And it's a wonderful ingredient to use in skincare, especially for women over 40, which is why you'll find it in our creams. I think the second one is an all-purpose. That's tea tree, Melaleuca alternifolia. It's a mouthful. And this, along with lavender, is a staple in my medicine cabinet. It's a very powerful disinfectant, and it works well on cuts and scrapes when you think you're getting a little bit of a skin infection. It can be used when diluted, as a mouthwash to help dental inflammation. It's just an all-purpose, fabulous essential oil. And the best ones actually come from Australia. And in terms of lavender, there are several different types of lavender that have all kinds of therapeutic properties. You're probably most familiar with it if you go to a spa, and it's very often infused into the air to help reduce nervous tension. But it's also used to treat burns. And in fact, on my website, we have pictures of some terrible burns that my son got when he was exposed to agricultural chemicals. And this Lavendula angustifolia is the true lavender, and that was the one that we used as part of his therapy. So I keep it with me all the time. I have a little bag that I keep with me, and I use it to take the sting out of bug bites and to soothe skin irritations too.
Just to interrupt you here for a minute. When you talk about diluting essential oils, I'm not sure what you mean by that. What do you dilute them with? Water or how do you dilute essential oils?
So essential oils are diluted in what is called a carrier oil. And a carrier oil can be just a plain old vegetable oil. You probably see carrier oils and don't even realize what they are. But a carrier oil, for example, might be a pomegranate oil, or jojoba oil, or grapeseed or almond oil, any number of oils, even including simple vegetable oils, can be used to dilute those essential oils. And there are very, very specific recommendations to what those dilutions have to be in order for the oils to be used safely.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. I wasn't sure. I know most people listening to this, when you say dilute them, they're going, oh, I don't, what does she mean, dilute them? You know, you know so much about essential oils, and some of us don't know much at all about them, and it's confusing. But anyway, back to your favorite essential oils. I think you said lavender and geranium.
Tree, geranium. There are two others that I really like. One of them is Eucalyptus radiata. There are lots of types of eucalyptus, but this is my favorite one, mainly because I'm addicted to this smell. It's really fresh and energizing.
Yes.
It's not the type of eucalyptus that you probably think of, you know, the kind that smells like camphor, that are used with commercial preparations that your mom might have given you when you came down with a cold. This one has a much softer fragrance, and I like it because it's used to help clear sinusitis and respiratory conditions. And it is fabulous when you use it in a massage as well. The last one that most people are probably not familiar with is cardamom. And I'm not even sure I should try to pronounce the botanical name for it, Eleutheria cardamomum. And the reason, you might be familiar with cardamom as a spice. In the Middle East, for example, it's used in Turkish coffee, and it's used in a lot of Indian dishes. And cardamom is a whole body stimulant that boosts not only your energy, but your spirits. And that's why, for example, I included it. We have an aromatherapy blend called Sharpish Attack. And I put it in there because it works wonders for brain fog. And we've gotten great responses from people who use it for chemo brain during chemotherapy. I personally use it in the afternoon at about 3 or 4 o'clock when that slump hits me because I don't drink coffee. I can't deal with caffeine. And so I take a few hits of this particular blend with the cardamom in it, and it makes me very aware and present. It helps stimulate creativity. And most importantly, it won't stop me from falling asleep at night.
Now, when you say taking a hit, what exactly do you mean? Are you using an inhaler? I know along with your skincare line, I've also seen some inhalers on your website. Can you tell us a little bit about those inhalers?
Yeah, you know, and the funny thing is, I had not set out to design clinical aromatherapy blends. It happened kind of by accident, as most things do. I had a particularly upsetting birthday, upsetting because I didn't think I was that old, and I was. I had my very first panic attack. It was my 60th birthday. And I had my very first panic attack ever. And I didn't even know what it was. And my son, you know, came up with a bag and told me to blow into it and whatever. And I decided that it was so upsetting to me that I went into the lab and I said, okay, there have got to be oils that are good for this. And that was when I formulated my very first aromatherapy blend. So yeah, I have this line of aromatherapy blends. They come in these beautiful little personal inhalers that just look like a high-end lipstick, and they're small enough to tuck away in your purse or your pocket. And the blends in them come in a glass container that comes within a larger container that is leak-proof and can be refilled. And the blends themselves are already balanced. And so you don't have to add anything to them. And there are 6 different formulas now that we have available. And they include things, from you know, panic button to come on, get happy. You can guess what that's for. We have one for called Not Tonight, Honey. Banish the headache.
That's cute.
And we have we got a terrific formula called Counting Sheep. For restless, sleepless nights, because so many women over 40 who are going through menopause and perimenopause suffer from insomnia or just inability to stay asleep. So, yeah, thanks for mentioning that. These are terrific, and they're fun.
And I think they're a safe way for an inexperienced user to try some essential oils, because you've got them pre-measured and you know what, you've got the cautions on there, I'm sure. And I think this is just a really right. safe, great way for anybody who wants to try essential oils. So
yeah, I agree. In terms of aromatherapy, it's a fabulous way to get introduced to it. We have a bunch more blends coming out shortly. But I should also mention that, you know, essential oil therapy is so important in skincare because it truly makes changes, lasting changes. And unlike using synthetic ingredients in skincare that usually don't have any kind of lasting effects, or you may use it for a week or two and feel that it stopped working, because we have essential oils in the creams and in the serums, the longer you use it, the better the effects are. And we don't have to worry about things like your skin becoming accustomed to it, because as you can imagine, the essential oils we have, each batch of essential oil has a different property, a different natural chemical property that comes from the plant. And the plants, of course, create these oils as a way of protecting themselves in the wild. And so if you think about it, a plant might secrete a different type of oil in the winter than they do in the summer, depending on the kind of bugs that they're dealing with, right? So they're constantly evolving. And because of this, these slight differences in the essential oils, your skin does not get accustomed to them. Unlike, you know, a synthetic, which is the same exact components every single time you use it.
Did you want to tell the listeners where they can, your website, or where they can get more information about your line? And I know you have a special for our beauty listeners. That's an amazing special. You want to tell us all about that?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thank you. So the website is www.laisha.com, and I'll spell that. That's LAISHA.com. And we put together a special for your listeners. So it will be 15% off any order over $36. And to get that discount, all you have to do is enter the code BeautyExpert during checkout. And you'll see that there's a little box that gives you the space to enter this code. And once you put in that, automatically 15% off the entire order will be taken off.
Great. And that information will all be in the show notes and on the blog too. So if you didn't have a pen or pencil, you can get that information out of the show notes. Sharon, do you have anything else that you want to tell us about, or we're getting close to the end here. I want to close it out. Is there anything I missed asking you or anything you wanted to say that we didn't cover?
I would say there's actually one thing. Some people ask me if they can get the same results from sniffing or applying a fragrance oil instead of an essential oil. And the answer is no. And it's important as a safety precaution. Artificial scents should never be used for clinical purposes because they can be toxic to the human body.
Great to know. Thank you. It is confusing. People are confused all the time about that. I know they are. And the only real way you can pick out an essential oil is you just have to get familiar with real essential oils and know what they smell like.
Right.
Do you give classes at all, Sharon, for listeners? Or
you know, we are in the process of putting together a course for listeners. Right now, we generally only give these courses to resellers, you know, retailers who are reselling our products. But stay posted, because we are going to do that very shortly.
Wow, amazing. I'll have to take that course for sure. I love the subject of essential oils. I find it so fascinating that we have these healing things at our fingertips that, you know, most people don't even know about. So it's quite an interesting subject, and I'd like to dive a little deeper into it. Maybe when we have another session or something, we can dive a little deeper in it. But anyway, it's been great. I know you're busy. It's Mother's Day weekend, and I don't want to hold you up any longer. Thank you so much for coming on and being such a great guest.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Deanna. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Well, nice talking to you, and we'll talk again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, like always, when we have a great guest on, just as the conversation is getting juicy, we run out of time. But if you have any questions that you'd like to ask Sharon, you can leave them on our blog, askthebeautyadvisor.com. I have a link to that in our show notes. Also, don't forget Sharon's special. That's in the show notes too. That's a very generous offer, 15% off of everything Sharon has on her website. Those aromatherapy diffusers, our aromatherapy inhalers sound amazing to me. I'm going to order some of those for myself. So anyway, I hope to see you back next week, and have a great week. And that's all, folks.